Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me here today for our Divine Alchemy gathering. Boy, when I set up this class, I set it up as inner healer and I just couldn't get away from inner healer. And I'm like, what is going on? Why do I keep wanting to bring in the inner healer energy in when I know it's our Divine Alchemy class? And well, I think that the reason for that is because these frequencies are so incredibly high, that the shifts taking place are literally knocking people out. So probably in my mind, I'm thinking healing, talking about, healing and how to navigate and how to look at the body's subtle energies and whatnot. So when I was tuning in for the frequencies of this class, I was like, I don't think I have an agenda for today. And I don't. I didn't write up anything. And the reason for that is because I feel like this class, this gathering needs to be allowed to be in a state of expansion because we're in such an incredible high influx of light right now, that for some people it's feeling overwhelming and with good reason because there's a lot going on. So if you noticed that I am sitting in a different place than my normal office slash art studio, it's because Beth is actually homesick today. She woke up this morning at 4:30, purging through vomiting and was not able to recover. And I had a feeling something, either one of us was going to get hit last night, because my cat Chester started throwing up and then he was acting like he was having a cold, all nasally, couldn't having a hard time breathing. And I'm like, oh, what is that about? And then I thought about it for a second and I'm like, I really have been shifting very, very quickly through these influxes that we've been having. And I have some really powerful mega shifts coming up that I've been basically given the points for to know because I have to be in vibrational alignment to be receiving what's coming through because it's part of the transformation to bring through the light codes for the age of Aquarius. I don't know how that's going to look yet or what that's going to mean, but it's going to happen. So I'm trying to be as diligent as possible with not being on social media too much, and just making time for myself in a number of ways. And so if I'm feeling it to this degree, and I thought, I would be the one who was going to go down, and then it turned out it was Beth. And then what was interesting was her cat actually threw up this morning, and I thought, oh, I wonder if Chester took the hit for me, as they usually do, because there are gurus, right, taking the hit for us when we are needing to keep functioning because I don't know how I would have gotten through today if I was not feeling well because I have three client sessions today plus this class. So talk about light codes on steroids, right? I kind of have to be on my A game for today. So I'm doing my best and the universe conspired to get me here. So here we are. So that's the change in scenery that you're seeing. So I'm actually in the room I call the fireplace room. It has fireplace in it, but we don't use it for that because it also has carpeting in here. So it's not really safe and it doesn't have a screen. I'd have to get one and that doesn't really pay. And we talked that, sussed that through many months ago, many months when I first moved in here. So that's where I am. I'm in the fireplace room. I like the shift in energy. It feels aligned for today. So that's a good thing. So many people are coming down with flu upgrades, right? Frequency light upgrades, you too, Jill? Okay. Yeah. So, and I can feel energy is low right now because of these mega shifts that we are going through. We're in consistent higher light influxes. So I wanted to take some time today to explain this. I also would like to give you some processes for working through these upgrades when they hit you and you feel like you can't move forward or you're feeling like you might be consumed by it so that you can navigate a lot easier on your path. And so one of the most important things with these frequencies as they come in. So two things are taking place. The first thing is that there is new energy, new codes, all new, never before seen, never before experienced coming in right now. They've been coming in for the better part of this year, except they're amplifying. And they're amplifying and they're bringing certain aspects of ourselves online. And so it's these transitionary points, like around the solstice, the equinox, not so much the Lionsgate portal anymore. That the whole thing with the Lionsgate portal, where we used to really anticipate it and prepare for it and all of that, that's kind of ended. And the reason it's ended is because it's no longer just a small window of opportunity for these frequencies. The Lionsgate portal has expanded, and it's now able to hold and contain and maintain the energies of frequencies from the beginning of August to the end of August. And because you have to remember, any of these upshifts that we go through, they usually take a period to like wind up. Then it hits and then they wind down again. But now that's not really necessary anymore because of these steady high streams of light that are influxing that are coming through. So it's important to have the understanding that we're needing to make sure that we're managing our body vehicle because it's no longer one process at a time. See, back in the day, right before 2021, because that January was very significant shifts, we would receive an influx of light quotient and it would just be rainbow light frequencies. And then we would be working with those codes. And then that would kind of, take a back seat and then it would be plasma light frequencies. And then that would take a light backseat. And then it was time to activate the crystalline light frequencies. But we're not doing that anymore. Okay. What we're doing now is we're doing these combinations of light frequencies and we're getting bombarded by plasma, crystalline, rainbow, diamond light frequencies, diamond light frequencies more consistent. Everything is targeting the nervous system. So when we're feeling, run down, it's because we've had a huge influx of light frequencies coming into the body vehicle. And again, just to remind you guys, they come through the back of the neck. They're going to hit the vagus nerve, which is the longest nerve in the body. It runs down the whole length of the body. They're going to hit the vagus nerve and they're going to impact the vagus nerve. So in the morning, you'll know you're receiving codes. You'll know how you wake up because if you are waking up with a stiff neck where you find yourself in the morning, like working through a stiff neck like this, or your shoulders are sore, right? I knew the last couple of days something was happening because my left shoulder, right in the back of the shoulder blade, felt like somebody had stabbed me with a knife and then came up and over toward my neck. And I was like, whoa, what the heck is this? And no matter what I did, I was using a foam roller. I have two of them, two different types. I was using an acupressure hook that I have that I could work through. Nothing was working. And when nothing works, it's because it's code activations that are taking place. So you can go to a chiropractor, you can go to a massage therapist, you can go to an acupuncturist, an acupressure person. You can get any body work done that you think you need, and it's not going to make a bit of difference in your body because it has nothing to do with a physical issue. In other words, you didn't pull a muscle or anything like that. It's codes coming in that are trying to work through the body. And you have to remember the way that the body is created, it's got many layers to it. Those layers are the aura field, right? And there are 12 layers of aura field. And, 12 chakras in the system. You have a bazillion meridian points. And if you go even smaller than that, you have the nadi or nadi points, depending on how you say it. And so you have to remember, we're a huge body of information. That's how I perceive us, as a huge body of information. So when these codes are coming in and they're hitting that vagus nerve and you're feeling your neck, your body has just taken on a huge influx of light that it now has to find a place for. It has to kick out distortion in order for it to be able to remain in the body. So if we're having a ginormous amount of influxes of light come in, something has to go. Something that that we've been holding on to has to leave, has to go. It cannot stay because distortion must leave. The density must leave in order for the light to anchor in. And this is the process. It's been the process all along. So if you think about it from that perspective, then we can start to understand when we're not feeling our fullness and we're feeling succumb to upgrades or whatever, we have to listen to our body, pay attention to it. What is it speaking? Where are we feeling it the most? What is the energy that's in that place? And sort of do a check-in with ourselves and how that's feeling. And now what's important to understand is during these time periods, right, that we're going through, and especially going into this next year, going into 2024, we all have major shifts happening in March, right? As we're coming through January, February, March of next year, because we're kicking off higher level codes for the age of Aquarius. And what's important about this is to remember that we are going to be shifting into higher states of consciousness, which means that we may feel a physical shift in our body. We may feel, perceive a conscious shift in our mind, right? In our state of knowing. But we may not perceive that shift in the outer reality. In other words, the outer reality is not going to change. What's changed is the inner infrastructure within your physical being, within your physical vessel, which will give you new and higher ways of operating in what looks to be the same reality, new ways of intuiting in what looks to be the same reality, but it is not really the same reality, and yet it is. And the reason for that is that the third dimension has not fully collapsed and deteriorated and gone away. So it's like a tether on a balloon that still has not been released. Okay. So we, and things might feel and be perceived as slightly different as we're moving forward in our reality on a feeling level, on a knowing level, through our senses, but might not appear in the physical, in the form, as having changed very much, but it's a feeling within ourselves. Okay. Debbie, have your hand up?
Yes. So I just had a question. It's going, by the way, everything you just said was so helpful, because sometimes I feel like I'm in two different worlds, like where I feel like, oh yes, there's all these codes coming in and I don't really sense them, but everything looks the same to me. Like, so am I in three? Like, so you just explained a lot by how you said it's more like, it's almost like more like how you deal with or react on an emotional level to what's presenting. And that's what's different, you know, because you can, somebody can look at the same situation and have two different reactions.
Yep.
Reality might not look any different.
Right.
But it's kind of like how you feel and you're knowing. So that's helpful. But what I was raising my hand about before was, I've been getting that a lot. Oh my God, waking up with like still a little bit here. Mm-hmm. My question was, is it helpful when now that I'm aware, I used to think that I had like a pillow problem, like years ago when I used to wake up with a neck ache and I'd be like, it must be my pillow. I got to get a different pillow. I researched like every pillow out there. I ordered all these different pillows. Mm-hmm. I said, let me spend a lot of money on pillows because like, obviously there's a problem. I keep waking up with a neck ache, you know, not real. Mm-hmm. Now I know, but anyway. So, but sometimes I say to myself when my neck is hurting and I'm waking up and I'm trying to stretch it out, I say, mm-hmm. I just tell my body, I'm like, okay, I got some light codes coming in, and I ask my body to integrate it. Like I just mm-hmm. ask my body and my cells to be open to integrating this information. And like, I don't say anything specific, but I just ask my body to kind of integrate all the information that's coming in so that I don't have this pain, you know. And I do notice, like, I don't really pay attention to it. I just kind of ask for my body to kind of integrate it. And then I kind of just go about my day and I notice it does go away. So I was just wondering if that was something you thought would be helpful for other people, because I find it helps if I just tell my body, look, can you just integrate that a little bit?
Yep. Yeah, we've talked about that in many of our classes. Talking to the body, having an awareness of what's taking place, not panicking, not going into despair or anger or frustration with ourselves. All of that lends to the codes actually being integrated much, much faster, right? That's a process that we can offer to ourselves and help ourselves through whatever is taking place. Because the worst thing we can do is go into resistance, because resistance will stop the process and then the pain becomes that much worse, right? We have to stop thinking of pain in almost a physical sense, because the frequencies are so fast right now that if we are not paying attention or not careful, we're going to create something that we don't want in our body. We'll end up creating a scenario that's not beneficial for us. And, you know, I will tell you that 90% of the joint issues and the pain issues in the body are because we're not drinking enough water. Okay. That's a key factor in, you know, in how our body is responding to whatever's taking place. And you have to remember something, we're comprised of like 80% water. So we can't expect our body to function and process the codes and acclimate to what is, right? Even on the outer reality, because of the amount of plasma coming in, plasma is a step below water. So plasma is very viscous. It's why so many people are having a hard time breathing all of a sudden. You know, anybody that has any kind of lung condition is finding it harder and harder to breathe, as the plasma is really filling the field, and we're not breathing in regular air anymore. We're breathing in plasma. Okay. And I can feel it. I can sense it because sometimes I'll take a breath and I'm like, ooh, that was, you know, like it really is getting intense. It's intensifying. And it can make us feel uncomfortable at times. So, you know, breath work, breathing deeply, getting breath into the belly and really doing that work can be another benefit for us. So doing the things that's going to make it more helpful for us as we're integrating these codes, water, breath work, making time for exercise, even if you're just walking in place for a little bit, supporting yourself in whatever way is necessary. And again, checking in with your body and asking, what would you like today? What do I need to give you today so that you'll feel happier, that you will feel better, that you will be in more alignment? Okay. So yeah. So integrating the codes, asking to integrate the codes. Absolutely. We can also ask our higher level medics, our higher level galactic medics, right? The aspects of ourselves that are galactic, that are in timelines ahead of where we are now, that are on higher timelines beyond where we are, and ask them, hey, you know, medical team, can you come and help me integrate these codes? Many of us work with the mantid beings, and the mantid beings will come in. So if you need that external help, if you need to do that, ask. If you are somebody who finds complete joy working with the Arcturians, they're healers. That's what they do. Ask them to assist and support you. Okay. So there's many different ways that we can work with these energies to facilitate whatever healing we're needing at this moment. Okay. Jill?
Okay, so I have kind of a twofold question around water. First question is, how do you know when you've drank enough water? Because I think there's like conflicting ideas. So how do I know when my body has enough water in it to
That's a great question. Absolutely a great question. And the reason for that is there are conflicting information. There's conflicting information about water in general. And so what I want to say to that, this is what, you know, my guides have always given me, my higher self has always given me. I usually go by drinking half of your body weight in water, right? So if you weigh 100 pounds, at least drink 50 ounces of water. Now, I normally would say, do not exceed the 50 ounces of water unless your body is really asking for additional water. And you will know, because the science will be very clear, because even in these higher light frequencies, I find myself needing a lot more water these days. Yesterday, this is a, I think it's 20 ounce bottle or 25. I drank three of these and I was not even aware. I was drinking three of them, right? So it's 64 ounces, whatever. And I was like, I never usually drink like, you know, more than that. But then I just found like I needed more than the 60 ounces of water. And I was like, okay, so, and do I weigh 240 pounds? No, I don't. But, you know, I'm taking in like whatever water is necessary for my body because I'm going by what my body is telling me. You know, if I say I'm 100 pounds and I'm going to drink 50 ounces of water to satisfy my daily intake of water. And then let's say I drink that 50 ounces of water and I am still feeling thirsty, then I'm going to take in a little bit more water than that, maybe another, you know, 8 ounce glass of water, and check in with my body and see how are we feeling right in this moment. Okay. Because too much water, excessive water, can actually lead to a heart attack or a heart condition or stroke if you're not careful, because the excessive water knocks out the electrolyte imbalance in the body. And that's very, very important to have that awareness and understanding. Years ago, I treated a young girl who was not aware, and I know I've shared the story before, so I'm not going to share the whole thing, who was not aware that the excessive amount of water that she was drinking was creating an electrolyte imbalance in her body. And she was actually having a heart condition from it. And she was athletic in school. And I think if she was 15, she was 15 years old. And her parents took her to the doctor. The doctors did not think outside the box. I did a body talks session with her and came to find out that her kidneys were telling us that they couldn't handle the amount of water that she was drinking because they were working too hard. And I then asked her, well, how much water are you drinking? And then she showed me the gallon jug she had, and she was like, I don't know, a few of these a day. And I'm like, no, you're putting your body out of balance. And the minute she stopped doing that, the heart issue went away, right? So we have to be very, very conscious of how much water we're doing as an intake so that we're not creating that. If you're drinking a lot of water and it's making you feel lightheaded or dizzy, that's an indication that you're drinking too much water. Okay, so we don't want to overflood the body. We want to make sure that we're drinking enough water for that intake. Does that make sense, Joe?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I have another part to that. So I've never been a person in the past who drank sparkling water at all.
Okay.
The bubbly kind. Actually stopped drinking sodas for many years. I don't drink anything with carbonation in it, but lately it's like my body's like, but let's have some carbonation. I'm feeling like having some carbonation. And it doesn't affect me the same way that it used to. So could that be my body changing? What could be the
It could
reason for
be, or
changing it?
your body changing, or sometimes we'll bring back something old so that we can actually clear the program. And so I've seen that before. I was drinking coffee. Now I drink an organic mix, like it's called Ticino, right? That doesn't really, it doesn't have the caffeine and all that stuff in it. But I had to keep going back to the coffee until I didn't need the coffee anymore. And then I finally cleared that program. So sometimes it's just about that. Okay. And
Okay, because this
so,
is just
yeah. So
weird.
it can feel strange. I mean, think about it this way. Your body's going to tell you what it needs. Like the last couple of days, I woke up and I've been needing to eat carrots every day. And there's constituents in carrots that I guess, my body is needing in particular right now. And so I'm craving carrots. So I'm eating them because carrots are good. There was a time period where, I might have been on like a kick to have pizza and I was craving pizza. And I was like, why am I craving pizza? Oh, it's because of the salt. The salt does what? The salt interacts with plasma, the sugar interacts with crystalline. So, when we're processing through different things and we're processing through different light tech quotients, we have to have an awareness to that as well, right? So, not to judge it, but allow ourselves to have it because all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh my goodness, I just bought a whole bunch of seltzer and now I don't feel like having any of it. Like, what do I do with it? Right. So, yeah, so just let it go. And if you're going through some kind of an upgrade, you might have to have a component in that in order to clear a program. And one of the most important things to remember is we're clearing programs. Programs come out in a number of ways. Programs can come out in diarrhea, okay? It can come out in vomiting. So we may end up vomiting, and that's programming coming out. That's like the deepest levels of programming are going to come out through vomiting and diarrhea. It could come out as crying. The tears are wonderful for carrying out cellular memory, like programming, old programming. It could be, like mucus, sometimes mucus. And so it could be like a whole number of things, could be any number of things with the body, any kind of fluids. So we have to be ready for that. We just have to allow ourselves to have that awareness.
And a lot of times the sparkling water comes in aluminum, which is a metal too. So it's like, should I also get not judge the fact that it's in this aluminum too? Because I try to avoid metals too.
Because so if we're giving attention to something that we that is unwanted and something negative, we're going to get more of that. So we're going to anchor in more of that. So if you're looking at it from the perspective, well, the can is aluminum and now I'm taking in aluminum, blah blah blah, right? Maybe. Oh, I like this. I like this thought. I think you're going to like it too. So maybe there's a program that you need to clear concerning some judgments, some self-judgments. And the only way that your higher self can get you to clear those self-judgments is to make you do something that's you're going to judge yourself for. So you're drinking the seltzer out of a aluminum can, and now you can judge yourself for it. And once you stop judging yourself for it, the need for the seltzer and the aluminum can go away, and you'll be like, oh, I don't need that anymore. But it's strictly to get you to clear a judgment. Now, let me go into something a little deeper here because this brings up a really good point, and I'm seeing so many people caught up in this, and I don't want you guys to get caught up in this. There's so much information coming out via social media and, every place, right? Every place you look, there's information coming out about food, what's in food, what foods are fake, what foods are this, what foods are that. What foods contain garbage? What foods are highest aligned for you? Everybody has a different perspective. Everybody's talking from a different timeline perspective, right? Everything is timelines. But let me give it to you this way. If I ask my highest version of myself, which is on my ninth dimensional timeline, my highest version of myself would laugh at me and say, would you like that to be true for you? In other words, if I'm drinking out of an aluminum can, I'm taking in a heavy metal toxicity, aren't I? And my higher self from the ninth dimension, whose name is Faith, would say to me, would you like that to be true for you? And I'm like, no. Okay, then don't take it in as your truth. However, could you just be in divine neutrality with it? Could you be in divine neutrality, divinely neutral, in other words, not playing into that at all and just seeing it as a source for something needed in the moment? And when you are no longer feeling aligned to it, it will no longer be needed. In other words, you're in every moment we're playing a game in this reality of life, right? And it's up to us what is to say, what is wanted and not wanted, or desired or not desired. But if we start giving a judgment to it, then we're going to start to judge everything. And before we know it, we're bringing that judgment into our field in the way of something. A something, because it's a nothing until it's a something, right? Everything is a nothing until it's a something, like the aluminum can, right? So if you can have the seltzer out of the aluminum can and actually drink the seltzer right from the aluminum can, without any judgment and just thinking, how refreshing is this? I'm loving every minute of this offering, this divine offering, this calling that I'm feeling called to, having the seltzer right from this aluminum can, and it feels fun and it feels delicious and it feels, I don't know, maybe it feels a little naughty because it's an aluminum can, but whatever it's feeling in that moment, can I just feel into the delight that I'm having in a sensual way where my senses are lighting up because I have the bubbles from the carbonation and I'm having the tickle in the back of my throat and I know that I'm drinking from an aluminum can and I don't really care. And oh, look at that. It's kicked off more light codes and now I'm waking up the next day and my neck is all crinked up and I can't move my back and my shoulders hurt and everything else because I've actually cleared some programming during my sleep and I haven't cleared that waking state enough yet that I feel back to my full and happy and natural self. And I'm still feeling a little cranky from what I cleared and my neck is hurting me and my back is hurting me. But I know that if I judge it, I'm not clearing it and it's not going away. But if I can stay in a positive stream of consciousness, then I'm in my highest delighted self, my highest delighted state. And I've just cleared all of that distortion, all of that nonsense. And now I'm in my highest timeline from where I was just a moment ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's how I prefer to look at everything.
Yes, that's a good practice. I'll get into it.
That's the view. We want to go from that highest view. Because when we start judging something as good or bad or right or wrong or better or worse or whatever, then we're playing the game of the 3D model, right? Because that's where all of that stuff flies. It's in 3D. Right? Anything goes. But when we take it into a 5D state of consciousness, even 5D still plays out that game. It's like, I'm here, but I'm not here. I see the can and the aluminum, but I'm thinking I need a detox. I do this, but I do that. Yeah, that's still 5D. 5D still has that mindset. But when we go to ninth dimension, you clear all that distortion. We're like, you know what? My body is a fierce, fierce processing center. And it can clear that heavy metal toxicity because there is none. That's the game. That's the illusion of 3D. So as long as I don't play into the illusion and that can is just a vessel to hold the liquid, then I don't have anything to clear.
Okay.
But it's the constant retraining of the brain. It's the constant refocusing of the mind. It's the constant tearing apart of the old programs, the old habits, the old belief systems, all of that stuff that we get stuck in because we've been taught that that's how it is. But how do we know?
Right. And that can be applied to everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything in our lives. It could be applied to every single thing that we experience in our life. If we can experience life through the eyes of divine neutrality and not make something good or bad or right or wrong or better or worse and just be like, oh, listen, this is what it is. If I look at it and I've received something and I'm like, okay, I don't really like this. I don't feel aligned to it, but I have it. This is what the universe is offering me. Okay, so if I label it as bad, then I'm going to play it out as being bad. If I label it as an experience, then I get to have the experience of my choosing in the highest timeline. So let me just see what this is about and see it as an exercise in my own personal growth in this ninth dimensional state of being that I'm in. because I'm going to see it as an exercise. It's just an exercise, and it's helping me shift my consciousness. It's helping me align with the higher states, the higher realms, right? So if I don't get pulled in, if I don't get sucked in on an emotional level, then I can only go up from here. I can use it to catapult myself to the next level. But when I forget my greatness and I forget who I am and what I'm here to do, that I'm here to navigate this reality and create the highest level experiences for myself, well, that means I could choose how I desire to do that, how I'm wanting to do that, and how I'm wanting to play all of this out, right? It's my choice. I get to choose that as the experience. So if something pops up and I'm not loving it in that moment, I'm going to say, okay, do I need a tool to help me work beyond what is making me feel uncomfortable? Do I need something to come in as catalyst for my shift for me to change in some way, shape, or form, right? And bring more alignment to what is. Can I see it for the benefit that it could offer? I could give you something really simple as an explanation to this, right? As an example, yesterday, looked outside my front window and there was a huge spider web. I mean, it was probably like a foot and a half wide by 2 feet tall. This spider must have worked all night for it. And then there was the spider in the web. And I was like, oh, look at that. I said, Beth, you have to come here and see this. And she's like, oh my God, look. And I said, yeah, he's like the size of a nickel or better, right? And he was huge, huge. So I went out with my camera, took a picture of it with my phone, took a picture of it. And I said, I want to see what kind of spider that is, right? And I found that it was an orb weaver, whatever that is, right? And orb weavers weave these big nets to cast so that they can catch prey in it, and they eat other bugs. And I thought to myself, well, I have a choice here. I can knock the web down myself because I'm afraid of this spider, and I'm afraid of, you know, getting bitten by it because supposedly they bite. It's non-venomous though. Or I could leave it up and let it do its thing and welcome it into my reality and see how that goes. And so I thought, carry on. There's enough critters out there for you to enjoy. And it did. It caught a wasp. So I was happy about that. And it was wrapping it up in its little cocoon. And I was like, one wasp down, and I did not take it out. And it's doing its thing already. And I was very happy for that. And this morning I woke up, and you would never have known that there was a web there. That spider was gone. I was ready to have a name for it. I was ready to invite it into the family dynamic, and it was gone. And I thought, wow, that's very interesting that the universe is playing with me in that way. And then I remembered something very important and powerful and potent, that spiders and webs are a sign, a message for us that we are deepening our interconnectedness with the all that is, with our quantum states of consciousness. And I really like that idea so much. So, you know, when we embrace the things that we're not really that fond about, right? I was not really wanting to have this spider hanging around because it was large, and the web, if you didn't see it from the right angle, you didn't see it was there. And I'm sure we'd walk through it. I walked through a different web one time, some time ago. But this is where we kind of have to, you know, look at this and make a decision to what is. Do I deconstruct it myself, which is really not my responsibility? Or do I embrace it and allow it to become part of my reality, bringing it into a higher state of consciousness? And it went away all on its own. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a lot of fun when we get out of the way. We have to get out of the way because we've been trained since birth to be proactive, right, in defense of what is, and to manage everything from the highest perspective as if somebody was going to be looking at us and monitoring us for the job done or not done, right? In other words, it could be something as simple as how good you mow your lawn. Are you taking care of your house? Are your neighbors watching you? Are they looking at you because you're not mowing your lawn, or you're not watering your lawn, or your lawn is a little brown and theirs is green, you know? It could be something as simple as that we put this heavy burden on ourselves, taxing ourselves with something that is imagined. Because the truth of the matter is, the way that the external reality works is, my neighbor is not standing there waiting for me to come out of the house, looking at what I'm doing, watching me mowing the lawn, because for all intents and purposes, he's like the utensils in my kitchen drawer. He doesn't exist until I open the door drawer to go in for a utensil, right? Until I wonder, oh, I wonder where the heck Bud's been. I wonder how he's doing. Maybe I'll see him today. And then miraculously, he's outside, right? It's like the big quantum supercomputer obliged with my desire to see Bud and make sure he's okay, because we're playing that game. But until then, there's no sign of him, right? Now, my neighbors across the street both went to work this morning. And when I first moved in, I was tied into a bit of the matrix here. And I was seeing how that was playing out. And I would see every morning when he went to work at 5:30 and she left for work at 6:30. And I would ask myself, why am I seeing this? Why am I up at these hours to see him? Now I'm up, but I don't see anybody go to work. And I'm like, how am I missing this? I'm missing it because technically it's not really there. It's an expectation that I hold, that I know that at 5:30 they're supposed to go to work, or 6:30 they're supposed to go to work. So the supercomputer obliges me with making the car disappear. So it's up to us. How are we going to play this game? This is a game. It's a game of virtual reality. And we get to play it how we want to play it. And if we think something is really going to suck, well, then I got news for you. It's really going to suck and it's going to be quite painful. But when we remember that we are the higher source in this thing that we perceive as a reality, then there's no pain, there's no suffering. There's never going to be any pain, there's never going to be any suffering, because we'll always be present, not creating any distortion or drama or anything that we're not desiring, right? But when we're not present and we're not conscious with our thoughts, we're going to create something, because that's the only way we're going to shift. And our higher self knows that. Higher self is like, oh, there she goes again. Yep, she's all right. All right. We're just going to stand by, ready, waiting, and able, right? So we kind of have to like look at this from the higher perspective. I always like to go to my 9D self. When I forget for a second and then I remember, I'm like, oh, I could do this, right? I mean, even something as simple as doing an art piece, right? And I forget. And when I forget and I stress over it. And then I can't commit to it. I can't connect to it. But then when I say it doesn't really matter, because I know the brilliant artist is in there somewhere. So even if I don't understand how to do the paper on the cupcake, I'm going to figure it out somehow, because as long as I get me out of the way, the higher self can come in and it can kind of take over and magic can happen, right? But when I stress about it and I'm afraid of it, then I'm right in the throes of judgment to it, and whatever I'm judging is going to become my challenge. Do we see? Do we like this? This is good, right? It's good. Yeah, it's good. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you,
Good.
Maria.
Very good. You're welcome. Maria?
Hello.
Hello.
My question is the 9D thinking, which I do a lot. Is that more though just for you because you can't do it for someone else, like with the intention for someone else to a degree? Doesn't it really have to also come from them?
So it comes from you, right? But what we could offer to that is that the more you are in nine-dimensional consciousness and not worried about what another is doing, how they're perceiving things, whether or not they are in alignment to how you are in flow, you're going on about your day, raising your consciousness in your reality as you're shifting to these higher states of consciousness. And I want you to understand it's a frequency, just like the frequency of a radio dial, right? For a radio station. Okay, Diana, thank you for joining us. We love you too. See you soon. Just like the radio station or a dial of a radio station, right? So you're dialing in that frequency, and that frequency is, a modulation of a series of frequencies. And so each time you have an uptick, you shift, you're shifting just a little, just a little, just a little. So as you're shifting in these higher frequencies, because when we shift, we have to remember we have to be able to hold it in our field. We're not consistently, even myself, right? And I feel like I've been doing this work for eons, eons, not even centuries, but eons. Even myself will vacillate ninth dimension, third dimension. Oh, let me go back to ninth dimension. I don't like third dimensional thinking. Nope. Okay. Down to fifth dimensional and back to ninth dimension, fourth dimension to fifth dimension to third dimension to fifth dimension to ninth dimension. We're never, ever, even myself included, I would be lying to you if I told you I was. I'm in ninth dimensional consciousness more than I'm anywhere else, but I am not yet there on a full-time basis. It is just not possible. So for those of you who hear me talk about being in a ninth dimensional state of consciousness, yes, I have a higher self and it reminds me and it pulls me into my ninth dimensional state of consciousness as often as it possibly can. But it's a vacillating scale to the degree of where I am in any given moment. I might be in seventh dimension, I might be in fifth dimension, I might go back up to ninth dimension, I might go down to third dimension. And if I hit third dimension, I'm like, ew, I don't like that. And boom, I'm out of there again, right? Now, when we're doing this and we're holding this state of consciousness and we're steady in our state of being and we're holding the highest state of consciousness always, even if we hit 3D sometimes and we come back up, we're holding that highest state. It gives us another opportunity to shift the frequency, turn that dial just a little more, turn that frequency just a little more, and hit the next highest state of the frequency coming in, right? The more we're doing that, the more we're fine-tuning our field with being a responsible creator and understanding where we are in the flow. Oh, I mean, that was definitely, I'm in di ninth dimension because there ain't nothing bothering me there, right? I'm listening to all of this crazy nonsense, all the stuff about food, and it's not impacting my thought process. It's not impacting my emotional body, ninth dimension all the way. But then something happens and we're like, okay, I might be needing to look at this a different way because this is making me feel like maybe I shouldn't be eating this, right? And maybe you'll play that game for a little bit and go, oh, maybe I shouldn't be eating this. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, that's so silly. I know how the game goes here. I don't have to play into that because it's my choice whether or not I want to engage in that lower thinking. Let me go back up to ninth dimension. The more we can do that, and the more we can hold these higher level thoughts, these higher level states of creation for ourselves, the more our field shifts, the more everything in our field shifts, even though it's going to physically look the same, but there'll be subtle hints to the people that are connected to us in our reality that will let us know that they have also shifted with us in some minute way, because it's not going to be at the level that we're shifting, because obviously if that was the case, they would have to do the work we're doing. Does that answer you? I know that's a long way around, but I wanted you to understand the answer to that, because it's not just a yes or no answer. It's so dependent upon our frequency, and it's also dependent upon our awareness to what it is that we are engaging with on a daily basis, to recognize when somebody else in our reality, in our immediate reality, has had a shift in a very slight way by their behaviors have changed, or their words have changed, or something has changed, because we're never shifting anyone else. We're never consciously imposing our thoughts or beliefs on anybody else, right? We can't take away somebody's divine free will. So we can only do the work and stand in our highest aligned power, and then allow that to be what facilitates the shift for everyone else. But if we're paying attention, we'll see the subtle shifts in others around us by maybe a more subtle aspect of themselves no longer doing quite that thing that they used to do, or they're doing it less, or they're speaking it less, or we're watching them come online with greater clarity to what is. Does that make sense?
That helps a lot. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, as a nurse, right, because you're a nurse, do you have anything you want to add to the whole water thing about drinking water and all of that stuff?
No, I was going to ask you before, but then I was thinking while Jill was asking her question, because, you know, I go back and forth with water filters and stuff because, contaminants. But then I started thinking that, you know, if you go to the ninth D, don't, you know, I have a Brita filter, but I have questioned myself sometimes, should I buy one of those more expensive ones? But then I guess you could just go the 9D thinking too and say, I'm not going to be, but
I'm going to just, you know, take the water, hold the water as you're drinking it, and be very conscious of the fact that I have the power to divinitize and puritize the water within this vessel and make this water whole and pure, right? But I also too had a Brita pitcher, and I tested it, and it didn't come up great. And then I thought the next step for me would be something called an Alexa Pure, and it's like a Berkey filter. It's two metal canisters and it has a filter inside of it, and I have to say that's worked really, really well for me. It holds like 5 gallons of water, so you're refilling it from your sink water, and I've tested that and that's pure. Like, I have never had a problem with it. You know, and it depends on like where your water source is. So if you know your water is a little dirtier, when I was in Medford, my water was very dirty. It was brown in the toilet bowl. So I got the Alexa Pure only because from a consciousness level, I needed the tool. Remember what I said earlier? I needed the tool of the Alexa Pure filter in order to break the mind set that, you know, my water is harmful to my body, right? And it did. And I had to regularly change the filter on it. I was changing it like every 3 months until I stepped out of that loop game. And then it was like almost a year before. And I have the same filter in it at this house that I had at Medford. And this water appears, because I think we're in a hospital district, which has also got the college, you know, Stony Brook, is not as dirty anywhere near, because it's college, it's on the college you know, system or whatever. So the water here is extremely clean because I've gone now. This is like my second year with this filter, and you're supposed to get at least 2 years out of it, and I haven't changed it yet. So, you know, it depends on your water sources, but certainly I would say if you need the tool to help you navigate better because you're uncertain and you are someone that drinks a lot of water, then make sure that you are supporting yourself by, bringing in that whatever it is, that tool or water filter, whatever, that will help you do a better job of staying in the higher timelines.
Yes, and I liked your response about the half your body weight. That made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, that's always been what I subscribe to is at least half your body weight in water. But because our air around us is becoming very plasma filled, you could feel it. You could go outside, you know, on a humid day, it's no longer just regular humidity. The humidity is like a damp hot towel draped over your head. That's how it's been. And it's because the plasma air that we're breathing, the air, the plasma in the air is so thick and viscous. It's just a step underwater that it's forcing our lungs to shift. It's forcing our glands to change in the neck. So we want to make sure that you're supporting the body in whatever way it needs to be supported. Some people may need a little less water than that. Some people may need more water, but I find myself more thirsty than usual. Even when I'm drinking, like, you know, two or three of these, I'm still wanting more water beyond that. So I say use your body as a gauge. If you find that you're drinking an excessive amount of water and you're lightheaded, back down on the water because you're imbalanced in the electrolytes, and that is not a good thing. Okay. And you can't counter and take more electrolytes because that's something natural to the body. Okay. So we don't want to do that because that's like a band-aid. It's not a good thing. Does that help? Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So, you know, with these shifts, it's so important to be as aware and as conscious as we can. We have to see the illusion of what it is that we're playing out to, right? And especially the judgments, so important because if we're not clear and we're still judging ourselves in certain things, we're going to come up against the issues that we need to work through and clear in order to be able to move forward. Because we're not going to be able to move forward if we're still running the old 3D programs, if we're still judging ourselves, things in our reality, people, whatever, right? So we have to make sure we're clear on that. Many are going to be stepping into new powers, new greater awareness, right? New insights, abilities to connect on an intuitive level from a higher place within. Many are going to be accessing those codes in this next year. And it's going to feel like all of a sudden, like a wake up. We're going to see humanity do that. It's going to be like all of a sudden somebody flipped a switch and everybody suddenly becomes spiritual at the same time, right? Those that are meaning to stay, many are going, many are not staying. Many are going, but it's a choice. It's an individual choice. Okay. Many are done with their ascension and they don't need to stay for the rest of it. They were here to help support us. Okay. So they will be going too. And we have to honor all souls. it's really important to remember that this period that we're coming into once we hit the equinox is really going to demand a lot for us. September is going to be somewhat challenging to the outer illusion, the collective of the outer illusion who are still playing into the whole outer illusion. It's going to feel very, very uncomfortable and keep getting uncomfortable, which is why we keep having to shift away from that, shift higher, pay attention to the messages that we're getting, pay attention to the little nuggets of information that's being dropped to us by our higher self, okay, by the universe, bringing us into new heights and new places. We're going to be feeling, many are feeling the death cycle, believe it or not, where you might feel like in some way, shape, or form, you're about to leave the physical of this existence. It's a real thing where you feel like it's your time to go, you're going to go, right? And so many will be feeling that and feeling the fear of that, but it's not to be feared. It's the death part of the greatest transformation yet. I've been through many of those death cycle experiences every time I've gone through a shift transforming me into these higher level, higher conscious states of being. And we have to go through these death cycles in order to shed out more of the old, of the distortion, of the programs, of the habits, of the lower consciousness, of the fears of the old relationships, of maybe the old patterns and habits and styles of working, okay? That's all got to change, because when we come into Aquarius is about freedom, okay? Aquarius is asking us to look at how can we free ourselves more than we already have? What else can we do to feel our own personal freedom? And it's about technology, and it's about working smarter, not harder. So we have to remember that in order to come into these higher states, we have to let go of the drudgery of 3D, the old mentality of, in order to make anything out of yourself, you have to really work hard at life. You have to work hard. You want to make a lot of money, you have to work hard. You have to be on the grind. You have to work 16-hour days, right? That was the illusion that we played under. It's not serving us anymore. All right? It's very, very important not to allow ourselves to hold on to those old idealisms, right? That old standard that we have always aligned ourselves with. And so when we're feeling this death coming, I want you to tune into it and say, where is this transformation about to take me? And how you will know is you will start to feel the detachment to the things in your life. You'll feel detached from work. You'll feel detached from people. You'll feel detached from social media. You'll feel detached from family members, from loved ones, from just about anything, anything and everything. There'll be a detachment, an apathy, a feeling of apathy where it just feels like, you know, nothing matters and you don't want to participate in that way anymore. And I could tell you that for some of you, you will feel that very, very strong. For the last 2 months, I have been going through a shedding out of responsibility. And so I'll share my story a little bit, and then it'll help you understand what I'm talking about. So I was born into service in this incarnation. I was born to serve humanity through my karmic debt, through my past lives, through what I'm here to do. I went through a phase between 2000 and 2017 where I managed to create enough distortion in my body that I was able to take on the cancer's density, you know, but it came out as cancer in my physical, the densities of Gaia and the divine feminine on the earth plane. And I was able to use my body to transform those densities from 2000 to 2017 through having cervical cancer twice and then having the cyst and clearing the cyst in 2017. And it only hit me and I realized what I was doing with my body, how I had contracted, soul contracted to use my body to do that. When I cleared the cyst in 2017, and it was exactly in the moment the Me Too movement became something popular and Harvey Weinstein was targeted as a sex predator, right? And I was like, oh, that's so interesting because, of course, where was the cyst in my Bartholin gland, which was in my vagina? And so I thought, wow, that's so interesting. And then at the same time, Hugh Hefner passed away and Charles Manson. And so I was like, wow, this is really about clearing the distortion of the root chakra for Gaia so that she could move into physical ascension and start to heal herself so she could take her rightful place as our sun. And the sun could then shift its logos and become what it is destined to become, which is a star. And all of this was unfolding. And being a life path 22 my whole life, I didn't recognize that this was my mission. This was where what I was here to do. Had no awareness to that. And only really came into awareness in 2017. But I had already been in the work since 2000, although my awareness of the planetary distortion, right, playing out on a government level, schools, you know, medical, you name it, came into play in 1997. Okay, so I've been dealing with all of this nonsense that we're watching kind of like spiral out since 97. And so having that awareness and understanding how my body was part of my transformation to becoming, you know, an ascension teacher, an away shower, and now shifting again, I'm going through a huge shift. The work is going to look even different next year because it's already starting to come in and transform because we have to shift if we're going to keep going, right? It can't stay the same because we can't talk about the same things over and over again because we need to grow. We need to shift. So the work is already transforming. But my point in all of this is I have known always since 2017 that shift was imminent, that it was going to happen. And some of it felt very, very strong, very, very challenging. When I cleared the cyst, I really thought I was going to die. I really did. I was surrendering to the higher powers. I surrendered to God because I thought I was going septic and I was going to die. I couldn't get anybody to help me on a medical level. And so they had given me the wrong antibiotic. They had given me one with sulfur, which I'm very allergic to. And so, you know, the night that I cleared, I went completely unconscious and I was, you know, off planet doing work to clear the cyst. The Arcturians were there supporting me. And it was a big moment, a pivotal moment in my life for me. Okay. But in through that, I felt that death spiral where I felt like I was going to die. And, you know, I was willing out everything. And it happened very, very fast. It was very fast. And then the next morning when I woke up, I was like, oh, I'm still here. But I cleared the cyst. And then when I got up to walk, I knew I didn't until 10 steps in. And that was it. The cyst just, boom, exploded, right? And I cleared it. And that was it. It ended. That was the end of all the suffering that I had held on a sexual level for years. And from that moment on, I recognized that every time we would go through humanity, we would go through a cycle of transformation. We had to go through a death first to go through the rebirth. And that was my rebirth. That kicked me into ascension, okay, on a completely different level than I had been before, on a level that I had not even known I could bring forward, all right? And now everybody is starting to feel this death cycle. And some of you are going to feel it as if you're really going to die. Like you might not have a cause to feel that way, but you're feeling it like you're really going to go because it's so strong in the field. And we have to have that death cycle where we die off from the old 3D matrix program, shed out that old distortion, and we die and become reborn. We're rebirthed into a higher state of consciousness, a higher nature. And then we find ourselves thinking higher level thoughts, aligning with higher level ways of doing things, seeing things from a higher level state of consciousness. And the old way does not even come in as a factor to us anymore. It does not even factor into our state of consciousness anymore. And then we recognize ourselves as the ascended master, as the ascended state of consciousness that we hold within us. But we have to go through a death cycle. And sometimes the death cycle is going to be a small cycle. It's going to feel inconsequential. And you're going to be like, oh, I thought there was something more to that. It doesn't feel like anything. And sometimes it's going to feel very monumental. It might put you in bed. You know, I can tell you that what my friend Beth is experiencing today is probably her death cycle. She's had a lot of, she's done a lot of really deep purging, letting go in the last couple of days. And it brought her down that she purged physically through vomiting, which she needed to purge. And now she's been in bed all day, processing through this cycle, allowing her body to restore itself and bring itself to balance, that she's shed out all this programming. And now she's on her cycle of rebirthing and coming back into herself. Everybody is going to be going through this to some degree at some point. It can't be avoided, okay? And when we clear the programs and we let go of the distortion and let go of the fear and let go of the judgment, and it's always self-judgment. Nobody ever judges us. It's always self-judgment. If somebody shows up to judge us, it's because we are judging ourselves, always. When we let go of the self-judgment, which is a big one, then we can move through that cycle of death and rebirth into transformation, into our phoenix state, and become more ascended, become a more conscious co-creator with the universe. And so it's so important that we have these gatherings and that we can have these conversations like we are, and we can have an awareness that there's something more. There's another way of looking at things. There's a higher state of interacting with the reality that is in form always. Our reality is in motion always. Our reality is in flow always, because energy is always in flow. It's always in motion. It's always in movement. And if we can remember that nothing is fixed, there is no such thing. When we say I'm stuck, there is no such thing. We are not stuck. If we perceive ourselves as stuck, it's because we're judging ourselves and we're judging our circumstances. But remember, everything that shows up in our reality is an opportunity, is an experience for us to have to see if we could figure our way out of the puzzle. It's a puzzle. It's not a death sentence, a life sentence, or anything else. It's a puzzle. You created a puzzle to figure out how to work through it. Sometimes it's a mind puzzle, and we have to figure out through our mind how to maneuver this puzzle. And sometimes it's an actual physical puzzle that we have to maneuver through. But we came here to do this. There's nobody doing anything to us. That's a perception. And if we are perceiving somebody being mean to us, or somebody being unkind to us, or somebody being, hurtful, harmful, whatever to us, it's our perception because of something that we are still needing to let go of, something that we're playing out that we have to move on from, that we are needing to shed. Okay, so this time is going to be very, very powerful because many of us are going to go through a death and a rebirthing. And the rebirthing brings us into the higher timelines. It gives us the opportunity to access higher states of consciousness. It's really important that we have this level of awareness, and it may bring us down where we have to get in bed and we have to ride it out from bed because we're not feeling well, because we're rebirthing ourselves. We're taking a time out so that we can let go of something. We can move beyond where we were stuck through the healing process. And it's okay. It has to be okay. Okay. So this is where we have to be in a state of allowing. So no judgments, no matter what it is, right? No judgments. Okay, Maria, so we'll see you when you get in your car. No judgments, letting go of what we're perceiving, because it is all the perception of the 3D mind, right? And the mind is very, very interesting because the mind will create a story. It will create a problem because it likes to create problems. It'll keep us stuck in worry when there is nothing to worry about. This is where the work is very important. So we need to look at what it is that we're creating with our thoughts and bring it into alignment through our heart center. It's very important to go into the heart center and bring it into greater alignment. Okay. We can't process for anybody else. We can only process for ourselves. We can't do the work for anybody else. We can only do it for ourselves. We can't heal anybody else. We can only heal ourselves. We can be a facilitator of codes, of light, whatever, but we're not capable of healing somebody else. If somebody heals through our actions, it's because we have a soul contract and they have decided that they're going to heal through our actions, participating in their own healing. Okay, so it's very important to remember that. So let's talk about the body, okay, and tuning into the body and being able to work with the frequencies of the body. Now, I've said in many of the classes where if you know that you are not feeling well and you have a headache or you're just feeling out of sorts, your head is feeling congested, my favorite way to counteract that, and everybody can do this, right? We practiced energy in the hands, is to just lay in bed and put your hands, you're laying in bed, so your hands are resting on your pillow, and just put your hands gently on the sides of your head. Sometimes I'll put one hand on my heart, the other hand I'll put on the top of my head, whatever you're feeling called to, okay? And you don't have to have Reiki to do this. Everybody has this ability, okay? Put your hands on the side of your head and just play with the thought that you are able to move energy, to shift whatever cells are not in balance, molecular structures are out of alignment, whatever is not in balance in your body. Just make believe that you have the power in your hands, in your knowingness, in your state of knowing, to shift whatever is not in alignment for yourself. Just have that awareness. Have that awareness, right? We play the game of Reiki, and I'm not discrediting Reiki. I'm not taking anybody's credentials away. I'm not doing any of that, right? I honor Reiki. I'm certified in Karuna and Sui Reiki for a master teacher. I taught both for a very, very long time, did Reiki for a very, very long time. It's a wonderful, powerful tool, but I also recognize it as an activation. It's an activation. It helps us integrate the higher consciousness. It helps us integrate the higher self, okay? So we're not taking anything away from Reiki, but every one of us has the ability to do this. Reiki gives us more structure for maybe how to facilitate a healing. But when we're working on ourselves, we don't need so much structure. We just need the desire. And we're holding our hands on the sides of our heads, or, you know, touching the fingertips on, right? We don't want to put the palms straight on, but we want that energetic exchange. And we're thinking the whole time of rebalancing, right? Balancing the energies in our body, balancing the energies in our mind, balancing the energies in our field, just using our awareness of what is, and closing our eyes and feeling into our hands, feeling into our head, right? And again, if your head is feeling wonky, you don't have to work at this. This is not something we have to work at. We are simply at rest, laying back on the pillow, hands are on the sides of the head. You can either touch the fingertips or not, and just play with the idea, with the concept that you already have the innate ability to create a shift, to put things back in place, to put the frequencies in alignment, to integrate what needs to be integrated. You already know how to do that. Okay, so let go of the need to have any kind of healing modality, Reiki, integrated energy therapy, magnified healing, any of that stuff, right? Just let it go, because it's not necessary. It's nice to have. Again, it could be a wonderful, wonderful tool. They're activations. They bring us into higher states of consciousness. We honor all of that. But as a divine source connected co-creator with our universe, we don't need any of that. Okay, we have the innate ability within ourselves. And the minute we're willing to engage in that innate ability and connect on a higher level and bring awareness to our own ability to heal ourselves, then we can shift the infrastructure of what's not in place around. The other day, Tuesday. I was receiving codes coming in, and because I'm very energy sensitive, it's like a photonic blast, right? It comes in and it hits my feelings and it goes doosh, and it, right? And I feel that. And mostly at night when I'm laying in bed, I'll get like the photonic blasts in the heart center. And it's like I could feel the whole universe in flux shaking with me, right? It's been this way for years. For years, I've been feeling this. The minute you hear your house creak at night, if you hear a creak or a bang or a thud in your house, guess what? That's an incoming light influx into your field. It's passing through the faux infrastructure of your house into your field. You're hearing the crackle, the snap, the pop, the thud, the boom, whatever it is, as it passes through the different sound frequency barriers, because what creates the house, the energy field that creates the house, is going to be different from your personal energy field. Okay. So it's coming through layers of frequency and it's hitting the body. And whenever it hits me, it always hits the heart center and it's like douche. Sometimes lately, it's been hitting me in the head and I could feel expanded consciousness. And the first time it happened that it hit me in the head, I did really get clear on that because I thought I was having a brain aneurysm, right? Because I'm so sensitive to the energies that I feel everything. So really be present for everything and use your hands. I had to get in bed Tuesday night. Shut down at like 8:30, and I was just like, I just cannot stay up anymore. I have to go to bed. I have to lay down. I did. I laid face up. I was in the bed, put my hands on. I forget if I had a hand on my chest and a hand up here or whatever. Sometimes I'm here and here, and I just like I just sit there like I'm a magician, I'm an alchemist, I'm a divine alchemist, like the hence the name of the class, right? I am a divine alchemist and I can integrate these frequencies, integrate these energies. And yes, it is in my hands to know how to do that. I get the mind out of the way, and it's like, oh, I'm just like just giving myself energy, right? Just like giving myself the energy, the frequency, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's right there. And then the headache disappears and everything goes away because I have taken responsibility for my own well-being. Right? We even have recorded transmissions in your dashboard of activating this ability to be a divine co-creator, healing. Whatever is presenting. Okay, look for them. And so it's important for us to be able to tune in at a deeper level and ask, what is it that I'm going through right now? Like, what needs my attention? What is the message coming through from the universe, you know? And as I said earlier to you, I know I'm going through an enormous shift. I can feel it. I hear it. It's like the work has already changed. This work has already changed. I don't know what it's going to look like in 2024, but it's already changing. I could feel my need to disconnect from social media and not be as present anymore. I talked earlier in this gathering about how I incarnated into service. I've always been in service in a multitude of ways. And now, as of this month, I know the exact date, the 18th, right? And think about it, it's a nine, 18 is a nine. I'm going into greater expansion, but it's also about completion and endings. I'm ending like the last, I don't know, 40 years, 45 years or something, 50 years of my life in service to humanity. And now my universe is saying to me, it's time to let go of the responsibility that you feel to others, to, you know, to everybody around you, whatever way that is. And I think to myself, well, that's going to make me feel naked. Like, how do I shed that out? Because that's been who I am for my whole entire life, right? And it starts with being okay with letting go. And, you know, in the past, if somebody had sent me a message through DMs and I couldn't access the message, you know, within like an hour or two, I would have panicked. I would have been like, oh my God, I can't believe I can't do this. And I would have stressed myself out. And now I find myself being okay with it, going like, okay, I can't access it. There's something going on. It's glitchy. It's not within my control. I'm just going to shoot back a message that says, hey, you know, I can't get to this right now, but as soon as I possibly can, I will do my best to respond, right? And it's these little moments. And I'm like, oh, look at that. That was a moment. I just allowed myself to not feel overly responsible to what just presented, right? So it's these little moments, and it's backing out and coming into greater awareness so I could be prepared for what is shifting in the dynamic of 2024, of what the work is going to be needing or requiring from me and what I will be requiring from it. And I'm like, isn't this interesting? Because every couple of, and I'm laughing because my thumbs up button is going crazy at the bottom of my screen. You can't see it, but it's going crazy at the bottom of my screen. It keeps popping up like it wants to come up and do like the thumbs up symbol, you know? And it's because I'm talking about what, and you have to remember, everything is the quantum field. So we're all interacting with the quantum field all of the time. And when we remember that, we can laugh at it like a game. And I'm looking at the thumbs up button going like, oh, isn't that wonderful? The universe is validating everything I'm saying. It keeps throwing that thumbs up, even though you can't see it. And I'm like, yeah, this is fun and exciting and, you know, liberating. But we're going to have to really get clear on not having to manage what is coming next. We're going to have to really get clear on not having to, you know, navigate everything, not have to be in control of everything. The most important thing that we can do is say, am I having fun with this? Am I having fun in this moment now? Am I enjoying what is taking place? What is transpiring? What I'm co-creating? Am I having fun? Because when we have fun and we're in joy, the universe will definitely conspire to bring us more joy. And then we'll have the abundance that we desire. And we'll be in flow with our universe, and more fun and higher level moments will come. But because of the nature of these frequencies and the frequencies hitting us all at once, right? It's because it's no more just plasma, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, in like a month or two, I'll be broadcasting, hey, we're in rainbow light now. And then like, you know, another month or two is like, hey, we've switched to crystalline light. It's not like that anymore. Everything is now. Everything is coming in now. Plus these new codes, which are really pushing us out of our comfort zone and giving us that death and transformation energy that we're all playing under, and that we have to really be aware of so that we don't get caught up in the despair of it, because we can get caught up in that despair and allow ourselves to pay too much attention to the despair that we're feeling instead of understanding it's simply a part of the dismantling within our own personal infrastructure, and let it move us into higher states of consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because if we're not clear, if we're unconscious, if we go unconscious, and we're not paying attention, and we're allowing ourselves to stay in the despair, we've stopped creating in our quantum field. Let me say that again. If we go into lower states of consciousness where we go unconscious and we're feeling any despair or any feelings of loss or being lost or being in the wrong place, one, you're never in the wrong place. You're always exactly where you need to be. Always exactly, even if it doesn't look like it, I guarantee you, you need to be right there. The thing that we will do that we need to make sure that we're not heavily engaged in is dip into the lower unconscious behaviors and stay in a place of despair or lack, right? And then we shift into that mindset, which then takes us into blame and shame. We want to blame everybody else. This one came into my life. They did this. They're doing that. They're saying this. They're asking me to do things for them that I don't really want to do. Well, then don't do it. Nobody is doing anything to us that we don't let them do. Right? We have to stand up for ourselves. We stand up for ourselves. When we're faced with a challenge of somebody judging us, we have to look at that and we have to see, are they really judging us or is that us? Everything is us. It's not them. It's like we've popped the program. If you had a cassette tape or an 8-track tape or a CD and you put it into the player, that's what you're doing. That person, you're here, come here, person, come here. And you're putting the program in, you're like, run this program because I need something to interact with so I could clear these lower distorted codes. So this is the program you're going to run. You're going to be this person because this is what I need you to say to me so that I can interact in this way and I can clear the distortion of this. So that I'm not playing to it. I'm not aligning with it. Because I'm recognizing I gave you that program to run so that I could clear what I needed to clear because I couldn't do it any other way. And if I don't do it with you, I'm going to move someplace else and I'm just going to run into another person that I'm going to be able to put the program in and they're going to step up to me in the same way. And they're going to judge me in the exact same way. It's never going to end until I end it. We have to end it. We have to shift that. We ask those souls to connect with us and play this out with us. It's a role-playing game so that we could see, oh, I think I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, whatever. They're going to come to me and make me feel like I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy enough. So if I forget about not being worthy or not being good enough, and I start thinking of myself as, a masterpiece in the creation, right? Every time I step out into my backyard, I'm helping Gaia heal in some way, shape, or form. Who else is doing that you know? Every time I'm interacting with my beloved pets, I'm up-leveling the whole feline community. Those of you that have dogs, up-leveling the whole dog community, right? Loretta's up-leveling the dogs. Holly's up-leveling the cats. Jill has dogs and cats. Anna's up-leveling the hen community. She has chickens and they're doing a wonderful job laying eggs, right? So every time she goes out there and she lends her presence, she's up leveling the community. And then those eggs are even more golden delicious because they have Anna's energy infused in them too. But if we participate and we listen to somebody else tell us that we're not worthy, then it's because we think in some way we're not worthy. But when we think about the magical resources of the universe as being unlimited, then we're worthy of everything, right? It all comes back to us, right? If you're at the beach playing in the water, Everything is alive. Everything has frequency. You're interacting with the water, up-leveling the consciousness of the water, which then up-levels the consciousness of the fish and the anemone, or however you say it, and the the coral and everything else, right? So we're doing all of it. You step out into the land, every time you go out into the pool and you're shining your face to the sun and you're like, "Hello, sun." You're radiating the sun, and then you're not only radiating back to the sun and taking in the codes from the sun, but then whoever you look at afterwards is getting that frequency from you. Right? We have to stop looking through the lens of the very narrow 3D perspective and start playing in the ninth dimension where everything and anything is possible. So that when we are back in 3D, we've forgotten ourselves. We are back in 3D. We can remind ourselves, oh, yeah, this, I don't like this. Let me go back up to ninth dimensional consciousness and play there for a while again so I could up level myself and everything around me shifts. Okay. This is where our power is. This is what makes us more powerful than anybody else, the awareness that we have. You encounter someone that's lower consciousness, that you're like, hey, join me for, a wonderful day or whatever. And they come and they join you, and then they start pointing out all of your flaws. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. You know why? Because in that moment, you're transmuting the distortion they carry, that judgment that's been embedded in them. Remember, you put that program in them, right? You put that program in. You're transmuting the distortion of that program they're carrying, and at the same time, transmuting your own distortion, your own program. So if somebody steps up to you and they are unconscious and they're picking at you, nitpicking at you, or telling you what you're not doing right, or whatever. It's okay. Love them unconditionally because they can't get to where you are. You see the higher state of consciousness, and you just have to say, yeah, I'm a work in progress, man. I'm doing my best. Isn't it great? Isn't it great that I could sit here and I could do my best and I could thrive while doing my best? Not having to be perfect. Not having to feel perfect, not having to be perfect for anybody else, not having to please anybody else but myself. And in sitting here, right now, sipping my cup of tea, I'm feeling pretty happy with myself because I don't feel like I need to be perfect for anybody. I only have to be perfect for me. How about that? Yeah. So that's how we handle someone coming into our reality who's bringing us a lower level unconsciousness. We're going to transmute that distortion for them because they can't do it for themselves. And the more you do that, the more they have to shift. You're throwing out unconditional love bombs, right? We're not going to point out how mean they are. Oh, I didn't ask you to come here. I didn't ask you to be this mean. I didn't ask you to pick out all my flaws. I didn't ask you to do. No. We don't do that. We're going to just sit there and we're just going to look. And we're just going to be like, I see. Universe, boy, I see what you're doing. I see it. I see it. I still have to clear this from my field because I haven't cleared it from my field. I must be still holding judgment in a way that it's coming back to me. And I'm recognizing in this moment that I don't have to be perfect for anybody. I just have to be perfect for myself. And right now, I feel perfect sitting here in the sun, sipping my tea, having a really great day under this beautiful tree at my picnic table, not having a care in the world because I don't have a care in the world. Not even at what is being offered to me through this interaction of unconsciousness. Because I know at the end of the day, I'm more powerful than anything that can be thrown at me through unconsciousness, through the third dimension, and I can clear it without any judgment to it, clearing it in a way that's going to shift me into even higher states of consciousness, because I am just that powerful. And that's it. That's it. That's how easy it is. It's that easy. Okay? It's that easy. The hard part is in backing down the ego that wants to be reactionary, the ego that wants to go in there and attack, the ego that wants to say, you're a mean person, you're mean, I didn't do anything to you, and you're here attacking me, and you want to make me feel small. Nobody can make you feel anything. You can only make yourself feel small. Nobody has that much power over you, ever. Nobody has any power over you, ever, unless you give your power away. And then you allow yourself to feel small because you believe what they say is true. Or you let your ego run the show and you become reactive and you have to argue and tell them off. But in the higher states of consciousness, we don't do that. We see the illusion, we see the game, and we just send them love bombs. We send them hearts, right? And we laugh and we're like, I don't have to be perfect for you. Isn't that interesting that I don't have to be perfect for you? Because I don't have to be perfect for anybody. Right? We don't apologize. There's no, I'm sorry you feel that way, or I'm sorry I'm not perfect. No. We're not going to be a narcissist. We're not going to be a gaslighter. We're not going to be passive aggressive. No, we're just going to say straight up, I don't have to be perfect for you. I only have to be perfect for me. I'm here to be perfect for me. I'm here for my soul's experience. I'm not here for your soul's experience. I'm here for my soul's experience. But you're part of the overall experience that I need to have. So thank you for stepping up to the plate to show me where I still have work to do. So these next couple of months are going to be shifting us into these higher frequencies, right? These higher co-creator states. We need to make sure that we're holding the clarity to what is so that we can see and participate from the highest state within us. That we're not handing our power away unconsciously. Because every time we go unconscious, boom, we're right back in 3D again. Right? Every time we go unconscious, we allow ourselves to do that, we're right back in 3D. And then we have to pull ourselves back out of 3D. So start monitoring yourself. Start catching yourself. Bring yourself into higher vibrational alignment. Do what is making you happy. What is feeding your soul? No matter how it looks on the outside, no matter how it looks to other people, it doesn't matter. Right? It does not matter. Because it's not anybody else's reality. It's not anybody else's experience. It's not anybody else's storyline that's playing out. It's yours. It's ours, right? If you decided suddenly one day that you were going to sell seashells, you live in an area. When you, every time you go to the beach, you have the most magnificent seashells. and you decided you're going to open a business, you're going to clean up those seashells and you're going to put them for sale on Etsy or somewhere else. So let it make you ecstatically happy so that the people that are dying for your seashells because they can't get to the beach where you are going to buy those seashells like crazy from you. And you're going to make a ton profit because there's people in the world that can't get there, but they will buy a seashell so that they can have that connection with the sea that they can't get to. But if you let somebody tell you that it's a stupid idea, then you're not in your highest excited state. You're not bringing in your highest level experience. You're not connecting to your highest abundance. If you're having that idea to sell seashells and you really feel it strongly in your body and you're going down there to the beach and you're finding the most amazing seashells, sell them. Put them on Etsy, sell them. Somebody's going to show up and buy them. As long as you're holding that frequency, somebody will come in and buy those seashells from you because you are carrying a super high frequency and you will attract in those people holding that high frequency. It's nobody's business what you are doing, as long as it makes you happy and you're not hurting other people, right? So whatever it is that you desire to do, do that. Stop paying attention. We go back to the beginning of this where we talked about food and everything else. Stop paying attention to other people's opinions. Stop paying attention to what other people are thinking that you should do, or how you should act, or how you should work, or how you should behave, or how your business should run, or if you should have a business or you shouldn't have a business. So stop paying attention. Yeah. Yeah. Or paint Buddhas, right? We're coming into fall and people are like, Loretta, why are you painting so many Buddhas? Shouldn't you be painting pumpkins or turkeys or something like that? But, you know, Loretta's feeling the greatest joy painting her Buddhas. And it shows every time she paints a Buddha, it's better than the last one. And they're all magnificent. But this is my point. You cannot let somebody else's opinion dictate your life. Okay? Don't listen to the outer noise. That's the illusion out there. You're getting 1,000 different opinions, especially on social media, because it's your job to weed through them and using your discernment, pick out what is true for you, right? I haven't been on social media very much lately because I am lining up with my 2024. I'm lining up. I got to call it in, but I can't do it if I'm in the noise. If I'm in the noise, I will never leave any of you. I'm never going anywhere. I'm never leaving here. We are always having the Mastery School as long as the Mastery School runs. And as long as you all want to keep meeting here and have the information, we will keep doing that. But as far as social media is concerned, I'm not really active there much anymore. Even my YouTube channel, because my support goes here. It goes to this community here to bring through information. And my YouTube channel may be changing. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like, but it feels like I have a change coming. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll see. We'll see. And it's exciting and it's something new. And I look forward to that. But in order to line up with what's coming for me, I have to be able to hear it. And I can't hear it if I'm in the noise, right? I'll still be posting to social media here and there lightly. If you see me post a picture of the sun or anything, read what I'm writing. Read it, because there's a message there. I never post something just for the sake of posting it. It is not me, unless it's a piece of art. And then I'm posting it because my 5D inspired art page, and you know, I'm working through that, supporting that, or just posting a piece of art just to, you know, keep shedding out of the fear of the whole art thing. But I never post something randomly just to post. You know, you're never going to see me posting pictures of myself at the beach unless it warrants something with it, right? It's just not me. It's not who I am. I bring through information And I'm bringing through the information and I'm giving that to everybody out there. Okay. It's just the way it works, right? If there's something at the beach that's important for me to share with you, absolutely. We're all on a different page. It's just where I am right now, right? There's no right or wrong, but it's just where I am. Pay attention to what you're feeling. If you feel like you need to take pictures of your garden and share pictures of your garden, perfect, do that. If that's what you're feeling called to do within, do that. If you're feeling called to take pictures of the beach, of the water, do that. If you're feeling called to take pictures of your animals, your pets, do that. Whatever you're feeling called to do from deep within you, do that, because that's what's going to be lighting up the codes and getting you to your next level. Do that. But I am telling you that it's becoming very, very important to go within, to connect within, and really discern what is your truth. Where is your truth? And as we said in the Moon Musings class with the lunar nodes going into Aries and Libra, it's all about relationships. And it's all about harmonizing and balancing your reality. Okay. So we have to look at these things with greater clarity so that we can be in our flow. We can be present for ourselves. We don't let others come in and, you know, throw us a curveball to take us off track. Okay. If that happens, it's because we're needing that experience in order for us to shore things up or tighten up the way that we are interacting, the way that we are experiencing our reality. It's going to anchor in more confidence, more certainty. Okay. We need to be certain about where we're going, who we are, what we bring to the table, and create from that. Very, very important. All right. So I thank you all for joining us today. We're going to end here because we're at the little over the 3 o'clock mark. But, you know, I know the 1 o'clock class on Thursday is a challenge because, you know, people work, obviously. But our next class is going to be Divine Alchemy. And I believe that's going to be on the 20th. So not next week, but the Wednesday after that, okay? On the 20th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. To those of you in other time zones that can't make that class, I apologize. I am trying to rotate them and still working on the heart class too to figure out when, how I'm going to do that. I think I have a way. I just have to go in and see if I can move the files over there so that you, everybody can have a chance to look at it. And also, I'll say it in the next class, but just to be prepared, the next art class, Art with Loretta, is going to be on the 22nd because she has an engagement the last Friday of the year, so we can't do it then. So if you want to participate in that class, it'll be on the 22nd. And I've discussed with Loretta the possibility of taking that class maybe every other month if we don't do it on a permanent basis, to like a Saturday at 1 p.m. or not Saturday at 1 p.m., Saturday in the morning sometime or Sunday in the morning sometime. We're going to try and make it flexible for those of you that want to catch the art classes because they're really fun. We have such a great time in them. So just be on the lookout for that because I will be sending out something to let you know if that is going to take place. Okay. But thank you so much, you guys. If you want to unmute and say goodbye to each other, thank you for participating. If you got in here late, please listen to the first half of the class. There was a lot of really good questions. And, you know, hopefully you'll find what you need there. All right. So know that I love you all. And I look forward to seeing you in our next gathering. And if you don't see me a lot on social media, it's okay. I'm just checking in for what's coming in 2024, but I'm always here. So if you have a problem or you need something, just, you know, shoot me an email or a DM or something like that. All right. Thank you.
Right, Maria.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you so much, Maria.
Bye.
I love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.